You're listening to episode 21 of the Where Your Keys Language Fluency Game podcast with me, Willem Larson, recorded on April 19th, 2010. Comprehensive system of language revitalization. It's viral, collaborative, and community-driven. In this episode, Evan Gardner speaks with two Where Your Keys Chinook Wawa speaker teachers. Of course, everyone who plays Where Your Keys to learn a language is also learning to teach the language, learning to teach themselves and teach others. So, as Evan speaks with Peter and Pulikli about what you might call a piece of curriculum that they have been designing around the family conversation. Now, what most people call curriculum, we actually call the same conversation. Technique, same conversation, is a way of looking at a piece of language or a language topic. It's a setup, highly designed conversation to be the most successful interaction we can have. So if, for example, the most successful interaction we can have over exchanging objects is the Where Your Keys core same conversation. That conversation about the stick, the rock, the dollar, the pens. Right? And that conversation goes up to want, have, give, take. I want your pen, I have your rock, will you give me your dollar? So in this context, the same conversation is going to be about family. So same conversations don't necessarily stay the same. They are always improving. But the point of the same conversation is that we always have a way of coming back to the same point, to the same essential topic in the same way, right? So the more consistent we can make the conversation, the more successful, familiar, easy it will be. And we're always improving it by applying techniques, and each new player that interacts with that same conversation is going to make it even more effective. But there is this sense where even if it changes, it only changes a little bit. So it can always have that feeling of, oh, I recognize this. It's that same conversation. And curriculum for us, this group of same conversations designed to teach language and to teach how to teach a language are ever evolving. They're always getting better and better and faster as each new Where Your Keys player interacts with them and innovates new techniques. So we needed a conversation for family to speed up the language ability of talking about family for the rest of our Chinook night, Where Your Keys players. And so that's what Peter and Pulikli and I actually set out to do along with Thomas. So there was four of us who spent two different occasions, parts of two different Chinook nights, working on this family conversation. So this is really important. This is a really important discussion because Where Your Keys is a very counterintuitive animal. When you first see Where Your Keys, for many people, we hear that they think it's just a game about objects. You know, a dollar, a pen, a rock, a stick. And that's certainly where it starts. That core Where Your Keys conversation is where we teach you that family of over 100 teaching and learning techniques, accelerators. But those techniques are designed to be applied to the rest of the language. And you use Where Your Keys to go from zero, no language ability at all, to being able to teach a college class or speak about politics and philosophy and economics. But you've got to start somewhere. And so that first Where Your Keys conversation is what we call a transaction-based needs gap conversation. I want your pen. You know, you have my rock. And that's what is that, right? The very first question. And that's just where you start when learning languages. So this family, this the design of this family conversation should start to show you how those techniques begin to get applied to more complex, more abstract subjects. So I really hope you'll listen closely and absorb the approach that Evan discovers Peter and Pulikli and Thomas and I took to designing this family conversation.
Take it away, Evan.
Me?
All right. Aren't you the one who starts all these things?
No, not always, no. okay, wait. And we're here at the Portland Chinook Night, April 14th, 2010. I'm Evan Gardner. Here with me is...
Peter.
And...
Pulikli.
And we're going to talk tonight about the Chinookwala class that we just had. We did the completion of the family curriculum that we started, what was that, about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago?
Longer than that now, I think, because we started it and then we moved to baskets and then we moved back to family.
Oh, right.
So I think it's actually, you know, but yeah, probably we cooked it three times and then actually did it tonight.
So tell us how you cooked it.
Well, me and Willem and Pulikli and Thomas sat down with a photo of my family. I had like a series of photos of my family. And the first photo is just my mom and my father. The second photo is my mom, well, it's all five of my two sisters, me and my father and my mother. And then I have more photos of extended family, stepsisters and nieces and nephews and grandchildren and grandparents and all this stuff. And we decided to limit it just to mom, dad, brother, and sister for the moment, and to just sort of cook the conversation and then bring it to the larger group using technique limit. And so that's what we did. And we did it a little bit, realized we needed to limit it. That was our first session, I think, was when we first started doing that. Then our second session of cooking it, we went through and just mostly did grammar stuff, and you came in and tweaked a couple of things. And then we just went around in a circle basically asking, who is that, who is that, who is that, to all the different people. Or,
and you and this was you. Willem,
who is that Willem, man?
And Thomas.
Right, exactly, the four of us. Who is that man, who is that woman?
And you were the same four people who cooked it over those subsequent weeks.
And the same four who cooked the basketry conversation.
Right.
So we implemented it tonight, and I thought it went really well. It was amazing to see everybody. You know, the setup that we had was to have a few people that already knew what we were going to do go first, and then we did a round like that where everybody who we kind of knew, and everybody was doing sing-along songs, so everybody was working together, and then we did that once all the way around, and then Evan suggested that we switch it to just one-on-one, moving around the circle, you know, one person asking the person to their left, who's that man, who's that woman, and the person on their left answering them. And, you know, that's Peter's sister, or that woman is Peter's mom, or that man is Peter's dad. And then moved it all the way around the circle that way. Then we switched to Thomas's photograph, because I only have two sisters. I don't have brothers, and we wanted to work in brother and sister. Well, Thomas has two brothers and not two sisters. So we were able to work.
He has no sisters.
He has no sisters, right. And I have no brothers, at least not blood family. That's the photos that we were doing. So... we were able to get both of those. And then the second round, when we switched to Thomas's picture, we actually didn't even have to do sing-along song. People were just kind of ready to do the one-on-one circle again. Even though there was definitely help being had, being given, it wasn't the way it was in the initial go-around, which I thought went like really well. I think that's why a lot of people didn't need all that much help later on.
Yeah, just to clarify, so then we had what, about maybe 8 people, 10 people around around the ottoman there, and then we just so the first round was everybody singing along and doing the sign language, and we went nice and slow on Thomas' suggestion, well done, because we were kind of like booking along.
That was my fault.
Oh, really?
I was going really fast, and then I noticed that I was doing it right when he suggested that we be slow, and I was like, oh, right, okay.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. And so we went all the way around as though, so we do this kind of a lot where where and everyone
we also
was
slowed down when we got to some of the newbies. We got slower.
Yeah. Which so everybody passed the photo around. So it was like there was a conversation between two people, but everybody was singing along. So you couldn't actually tell that it was between the two people.
Right.
But when you do that, then it at least gives those two people the experience of pointing to the picture and feeling like they're in charge of the conversation, and then everybody else is being, you know, really great lunatic fringers and angels. So when it came back around that first time, so it went, so the first people to do it were Peter and Thomas, and then Thomas and Pulikli, and then it went off to Pulikli and Kirsten, who you know, is also a very comfortable speaker. So by the time it went around, then the pattern was really nicely established, and then it would go all the way around the circle to the newer speakers. And then the next time, it was just those two speakers, but everybody else were really great lunatic fringers and angels, but a lot of sign language and a lot of giving hints and dropping the first sound and things like that to kind of pull people through. Really nice. So, publicly, or both of you guys, did it go the way you intended it to go?
I thought mostly. I mean, I was, I was sort of didn't think it would work that well when we were designing it the other day. Yeah, I was sort of, you know, it should. I was sort of an advocate of making a generic family,
using the generic family instead of it.
It seemed to work just fine with a real picture of Peter's family as opposed to a scene from The Simpsons.
Well, I got to tell you, I noticed something that really worked well was when you three guys. So we didn't have Willem tonight. So you're the fourth person in the cook wasn't here to do the implementation. But I noticed how you guys did the thing where you guys all sat on the couch, boom, 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 and that was great. I really want to hand it to y'all for being like...
Well, that was Thomas' idea.
Yeah, Thomas, totally. Well, I moved over and sat on the couch, too, just because I wanted to be in proximity to Thomas, since we were both passing our photos. And then he asked Kirsten to switch with publicly.
That was a great move.
Yeah.
Great move. Yeah, and not to be afraid of, like, well, I think we should... change seats. Like, no, change seats. If you think that's going to help, change it. Change the seats.
Right.
Situate, get the setup suite.
Yeah.
So, and then you guys cleared off the ottoman. There was a bunch of money laying on the ottoman, so that was all cleared off. Nothing else on the ottoman but Peter's pictures.
We were counting money. It's fake money. It's not like I have... It's not like we have money that's lying around here.
That's true. We moved all the money off of the ottoman.
We moved all the money off the ottoman. There was fake money so that people could learn to count. That was something that...
Eric
was running at the same time, or earlier in the evening when you were on the walk.
Eric's been making money recently.
Yeah.
$103 is the exact figure in copied money. So how... did anything surprise you about when you started in?
I was a little bit apprehensive about how do we jump into this? Like, I didn't know that there was, like, some sort of easy flow into it where, like, okay, now we're doing this. And I sort of set it up and then go into it. So it was kind of, it was a little, you know, rough start, I thought. I mean, you know, I was like, wait, how did we do this? And so there was kind of a little bit of that going on, which was fine. It you know, we sped through it pretty quickly. But it was definitely like, okay, what do we do now? Oh, we're going. We're playing it. Well, okay, but there's no right way to. There's no, you know, it's happening. Yeah. And we were just like going with it, you know. So that was kind of like nerve wracking to begin with, just because I kind of like didn't remember how we had started it the week before. And when we did the basket session, me and Willem were actually in here while you were on the walk, and we did baskets with two people. So it was already kind of set up for that.
Oh,
and this time around, we all sat down and did family at once as a big group, rather than being able to go over it real quickly, you know, 5 minute, no pressure, refresher, before jumping into the bigger group. So I definitely had like a little bit of like, oh shit, what the f*** am I doing?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if I can swear on this podcast.
Right. Well, you just did.
Yeah. Willem can edit out whatever he wants. He's the editor.
Okay.
Yeah, and I One thing I didn't worry about is, like, when I was talking directly to Peter, I just said Maiga Mama instead of trying to make Peter Yaga Mama.
Right, exactly.
And just let and people it, well, figure and it made that. Sense. People,
right, exactly.
That makes sense, and just let people figure it out. And
it totally makes sense.
I think that's how we had it set up, too, when we were playing it, was that was what we were going to do.
There were going to be differences, and that's just the way it is. There's differences when different people talk about each other.
Well, and then you guys were talking to each other,
exactly.
holding Peter's family pictures.
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, it would just be insane to say, you know, like, just... I don't know.
It would be, weird. Yeah. And just, like, let people figure that out.
So would you... Did you have that same sort of feeling about the start? And the difference between the basket start and the difference between the family start?
I guess the baskets, I sort of came in and just was just like, oh, we're talking about baskets. And didn't even know there was any... I didn't even know it was being a lesson design or anything. I just started talking about baskets.
Well, little did you know.
Yeah.
So then, would you have done something differently next time about the setup of that?
No, it seemed to work well enough. And definitely, the good technique to always go through the picture in the same direction, and you know, always go. Just be consistent. I think that was a good idea, but that's...
Especially with... Well, I think what you're talking about is the picture itself. We did... Well, who is that? That's Peter's dad. That's Peter's mom. That's Peter's sister.
And covering up the multiple, you know... There were two pictures, really, and presenting them with the overlaps. There's only one image of his mom.
Right,
so it's
exactly.
less confusing. I think
that really worked out well. And every time you pass that off... So there's a picture of Peter's mom and dad. That's a separate picture. And then there's a Peter of Peter's mom, without dad, and then Peter's sister, and Peter. Mm-hmm. And so we just sort of overlaid the picture of Peter's mom and dad onto that other picture. And for whatever reason, every time we passed around,
people just knew.
Yeah, they were like, oh, that we'll just stick that together.
Right, exactly. I think that's just kind of like the setup going around like that and how we started with the three of us in the beginning, you know?
Yeah, that was really wise to make sure that the pattern, and now everybody goes, okay, we've got the pattern.
Yeah.
And now, one thing that would you want to make sure that you had a no-pressure refresher with, like, you and...
It would be nice to step aside for 5 minutes and just be like, okay, you know, huddle.
Right.
You know, real quick huddle. Just be like, how are we going to do this? How are we running it from the start? You know, do we want to do this just real quick for 5 minutes? You know, just go around, you know.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, how long did we play the family game? Like, that was a good hour, wasn't it?
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I think that a 5 minute before that would be certainly worth the investment of just making sure.
Especially because I had only played it once before, and it had been a week, and I'd forgotten a good chunk of it.
Oh. Right.
It's like, oh, we're getting back to this. Okay. That's
great. Yeah. Yeah. And to not have... Okay.
We did something. We designed some sort of a routine. What was it exactly?
Yeah, right, exactly.
What did we eventually decide on?
I almost didn't want to do... I mean, I think I might be coming down to something and was feeling pretty tired after running the game with Nikki. And I was just like, we should wait till all four of us are here. And then I sat down and just ate some food. And then I was like, well, let's do it. And I grabbed a picture of Thomas's family at the same time. He was like looking over to me like, do we want to do the family thing?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was
he'll egg you on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and there is an amount of like, you know, it's funny that you're kind of on stage. You know, because it's Peter's family. Yeah.
Right.
So every time they're looking at
Luckily, it was the conversation was between two other people on the opposite side of the circle. But, it's still.
When Peter's energy level just completely crashes, his face goes white, his head's in his hands. He's like,
it's true.
passing out.
It's awful.
Yeah, but it's interesting though. Like it's a different game to play when you're sort of on stage,
right?
And it's like okay, the game's got to go. It's sort of like energy. Okay,
yeah,
you know, I gotta be the one.
Especially the one. Like I don't know if we want to. I mean, did you have anything else you wanted to add to that publicly about the family stuff?
No.
I have one more thing to add. That I did notice that when you guys sat down on the couch, you got your setup ready. You're like, okay, well, I want to sit here, and then. And then you were like, why aren't you asking me? And then Thomas was like, well, I don't know. Am I asking you?
Right,
and then,
right.
So
there
you guys
was that
sort
weird,
of did this
that was
Three
that
Stooges
thing.
Sort of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was the clunky start.
Yeah.
That was the clunky start.
And then you sat down and you're like, okay, do we, were you going to? Am I going right, to? How are we going to? And I really do think that would have been good to take in a couple minutes.
Right, exactly.
Do you think it would have been a good idea to have cooked that with a couple of other people? Or just like the three of you?
Like we did with baskets? Yeah. Like earlier in the night and then move. No, I think actually it was fine.
Worked fine. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Thought it was great.
Okay, sweet. What would you do differently next time?
I would have the quick, you know, no pressure refresher for the facilitators right off the bat. And then I don't think I'd really do anything differently. It would be nicer to have one picture without the two pictures overlaid. But, you know, I mean, you make do with what you have when you're talking about stuff that's objects right in front of you. So as far as that goes, I think it was fine.
Anything you'd do differently?
No, not that I can think of.
Yeah. The only thing I can think of is kind of like what you're saying. And also, like, going to Kinko's or something and getting a colored copy of that same picture and like blowing it up bigger.
Yeah. Especially that was one thing that last week I remember being like, I don't think you need to do that. That's like an extra step. But with a big group of people like this, when you're trying to look across the table at what's happening, it did seem like, you know, you're 10 feet away from a photograph that's 5x8, you know, or smaller. Yeah, with five people in it, and they're just little dots at that point. So I agree. Yeah. I think it would be nice to have a blown up photograph.
Yeah, and I gotta say, on
just
Thomas's,
for the visual effect of, you know, in a larger group.
Yeah, and then on Thomas's picture, it was a black and white picture that he had like, what do you call it? That Stalin'd out.
Yeah, it's done the Stalin. Yeah. Stalin had it done a little bit more expertly.
Yeah, a little bit. And so, you know, like his sister-in-law is whited out and his two nieces are whited out. But, you know, having that be a black and white photo was really a decelerator because we couldn't quite see the third brother hiding in the shadow of the tree.
Yeah. And I think it was half-toned as well. That added grain to it.
Yeah.
Totally. So if that had been like, you know, bigger but in color.
Right.
And yours just bigger and still in color. But certainly I think the in color thing is kind of, you know, important to have that separated. All right.
So, I don't know. One of the things I want to talk about, well, whatever that's, my friend Nikki, I talked to her last week about Chinook and she came tonight. So I was able to do a one-on-one. This was my first one-on-one with somebody who has no prior experience with Chinook whatsoever. And, it went really well, actually. I mean, it was difficult for me to kind of jump into it. And it's nice that there's like on the wall, we have, a list of the techniques. There's on a big piece of paper set up, obviously, Sorry, Charlie, Linnet, Copycat, Craigslist, Full, and How Fascinating. And that was like such a great thing to have there for somebody like me who's like hasn't run a game before, because I was able to like sit down with her and I wanted to give her sort of the foundation of what's happening rather than just like start talking to her in Chinook or trying to run the game without kind of explaining the big picture in 5 minutes or whatever. So I explained, you know, Travels with Charlie. I explained Sorry, Charlie, because right when she got here, people started talking to her in Chinook, and she doesn't know anything. So right out of the gate, you know, you walk in the door, and people are Sorry, Charlie-ing you. That happened to me when at my first Chinook class, and it actually made me, like, really uncomfortable, and I didn't stay for very long. Mm. But that's sort of the whole thing. So I kind of explained a lot of that to her just to kind of make her feel a little bit more safe about it. And we had a really good time just playing What Is That over and over again. We went outside. I got her up to want, have, give, take. There was a little bit of trading.
Hang on a second. Let me set this up a little bit differently, maybe. So she comes in, and you're already doing a one-on-one with a couple of other people. You're doing a no-pressure-pressure with a couple of people who... One woman hasn't been here in a really long time. That, you know, she hasn't been here in probably 2 months or something like that. So you're just kind of starting a no-pressure-refresher with them. So your friend comes in, and then you're like, oh, hi, and so I know that you guys know each other now. And so I asked you, well, do you want to go with her, or do you want someone else? And you really wanted to do it.
Right.
So I think that was great, by the way, to do that. Why did you set up right there? Because there was Eric and Lowell were sitting on the couch really close, and I thought you kind of set up.
There had been a setup there just previously to that, and I guess they moved outside, so it was really the only place.
Oh,
you know, it was like all the chairs were taken, and so there was this gap over there.
Was it enough space?
No, definitely not. And the other thing was like, I was facing, she had her back to the rest of the room, but I was facing the room. Right. So like, I could see all the action happening in like every group.
Yeah.
And there was all this audio and stuff. And yeah. It was so distracting for me.
I heard you say that. I heard like,
it was so distracting for me.
And then you were like, man, this is too much.
I really, well, what we should have done was like maybe taken our chairs outside. And then later on, like you went on the walk and we did go outside and played a little bit more out there and it was a lot nicer. And then yeah. We came back in and played a little bit more. We actually played like maybe four times.
So hang on. So what objects did you have?
We had, when we first sat down, I put down a dollar bill and a black pen.
Okay.
So
did you choose those intentionally or did you just kind of grab
them? Yeah, I chose those intentionally because, you know, well, I just always like to have the dollar because it's the easiest thing to do. Plus, it's close to an English word, which makes all the other stuff a little bit easier. Yeah. But then I thought instead of a stick or a stone, since I've already got an English sounding word, dala, and stick is the same as stick. Stick is stick in Chinook and stone is stoon. So I wanted to have something that was a little bit less
exotic.
English a little bit more, and then have one object that was easier to say. Okay. So I had the black pen, which is ill some stick.
And hardest sound to make.
Yeah, well, all right. And so she was having a hard time with the pen. And so at one point I was like, okay, let's switch this up and bring in a stone.
Oh.
So I switched it to the stone but she kept wanting to say "Il Stoon" because you know it is a black stone, and I was like, well, you could say that. She's like, well, I want to learn it, and I was like, oh, okay, awesome. Okay. It was definitely like you know one of those things where you're not quite sure like what the other person's thinking. It's very hard to read them because their brain is like doing all this work. It's like you know. Trying to, and so their faces just kind of go blank. It's like I've heard, you know,
that's why if someone kept calling a black stone ill stoon, I would just to make sure they did it, I would like grab a stone of a different color,
right?
So
that would be, yeah,
and
totally.
If they start calling that ill stoon, then you know, that one's ill stoon, just call that one stoon. You don't know the color name for it,
exactly.
Yeah. Wait, for a little
so
bit.
At that point, I was kind of like, okay, well, that's fine. So then I gave her a little bit more pronunciation stuff, and I talked to her about it doesn't really matter.
So hang on.
You know?
When you first set that up, how much time did you spend on talking to her about, like, techniques and sort of the big picture?
I tried to get through that stuff very quickly.
Was it worth it?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
I think
how
it was.
How do you feel about how you did that?
Like,
have you ever done that before? Like, have you ever, like, had a newbie sitting in front of you and then had to be like, okay, what am I going to tell this person? We're about to jump in.
No, and so that's why I did that. Because every time I've jumped into a game, it's been with somebody who's actually never heard the explanation of it before. And it just, I don't know, I'll use techniques and they don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Right.
So I wanted to be like, okay, I'm using these techniques. I'll mark them. I'll talk to you about them.
Yeah.
There are more than that are up on the wall that will come out as we're playing. Like technique in threes isn't up there.
Right.
And that was one of the things that I got into because we were doing Craigslist over and over again. So I was like technique in threes. So, and then I taught her full. And then at one point, like I could tell she was full. So I was like, are you full? And she was like, yeah, I'm full. And I was like, well, let's take a break and see what happens. And I was expecting, you know, her to be like, yeah, I'm full. I'm out of here. And, like, run out the door. Because that's how I, you know, that's just how I experienced it. But, no, she was, like, she was like, wanting to hang out and, you know, which was cool. So then we played another game. And we just kept working, want, have, give, take.
How did she do on the Naiga Maiga thing?
That was one of the, you know, Naiga Maiga is you and me, or me and you, or...
Naiga, me.
Naiga, yeah, it's confusing because Naiga, me, Maiga, you. So the word my is at the very beginning of you. And so to English speakers, it's confusing. I still make the mistake.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was definitely like, it was definitely hard, especially because...
Then you have to watch yourself here's as well
the thing,
as watching.
Right, and here's the other thing. Here's the other problem, too. I was mirroring, it was because it was one-on-one. I was trying to do mirror for her to show her what to do, but she was thinking...
You need an angel.
Right, exactly. You need an angel. And I was... Because the mirror stuff, it wasn't working because I would be like, you know...
Point to yourself, and then she point to herself, and then you're like, well, I want you to point to me
right now. Exactly. Yes. So it's, and it's so confusing because the Naiga and the Maiga thing. So I was just kind of like, I think that's actually was a huge wrench in our interactions. And that's something that I need to like consider again for the future, because that was definitely like the most confusing thing for me as a facilitator, to be like, okay, now we're doing copycat, now we're doing, and to be able to switch back and forth. Uh-huh. And say, now,
did you think you had the option of calling somebody and say, hey, be an angel here?
I didn't.
Because I'd really like to get that as part of an option.
I was actually going to call you over and ask you to kind of like sit in. But,
yeah, please.
But,
I think even a better way, I'm trying to think of how when I first had that game thrown at me, and I think it was other people were playing it, and I sort of watched other people
right.
playing it, and figured out without having the rules told, just from the, you know, that they were... They're asking, Iktogook, that sounds like a question. Well, what could it be? Well, it's probably
right.
what is. And right. just trying to figure it out. And I think that's a really good...
So you were basically lunatic fringing before
right.
you actually
Being
were playing the game.
Being a lunatic fringe
right.
before you're playing it.
Yeah. And that's actually and something
players,
that I thought about.
Just doing one-on-one.
Right.
One-on-one, it's hard to do that. But I think that's really powerful than to watch other people doing it and guessing what they're saying. Because the same phrases keep coming. It's just very
right.
regular. It's sort of like...
Right.
A Dr. Seuss book. See,
yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Right, exactly.
Or see spot run. So you
right.
can, you can, and it's designed to be that way. And I
right.
think
right.
because it's so simple, it is possible for people to guess what's being said.
Right.
Lunatic friends
totally.
And then be brought in.
Right. Mm. And that's actually something that I kind of said to her, because it, you know, it's just like when they've got that like, she had this like blank face on and was,
yeah.
I, you know, and kept calling full. So we would take a little break and then she'd start asking, what is that again? And so, I was kind of like, oh, you still got energy? Okay, well, we'll just keep playing What Is That until we're fluent in What Is That, you know? And so we kept going a little bit further and then going back a little bit further. But I also, so I kept like, you know, kind of like over-explaining, or not over-explaining, but kind of like feeling like I needed to explain, oh, this is actually, it would be a lot easier if we were doing it this way with this group and this Lotus and Lunatic Fringe and Angels on Our Shoulder and all this stuff. And it made me realize that one-on-one with somebody right out of the gate to a Chinook class isn't the fastest way to get them, I don't think.
What is?
I think having them play the regular Where Are Your Keys with the Lotus would be the best way. At least not necessarily the fastest for everybody, but for people who, you know, it's just the least amount of pressure, you know?
So newbie walks through the door.
Right.
And we're like,
sits
Lotus
down.
Lotus flower! And everybody comes
right.
in.
Whatever we, you know, not Lotus, whatever we want to call it, you know, concentric, you know, that sounds
well,
hippy-dippy too. But but yeah, we get a newbie to come
right.
in, and everybody plays What Is That for, you know, 15 minutes until that person cycles through to
mm-hmm.
the inner circle and then plays the game themselves. And then they're
yeah, and
flying.
Just, like,
and then they can drift
in,
back out,
yeah.
you know?
How many, so if you've got one new person, right, brand newbie,
right?
Right? How
yes,
many people would you put around the table then? Like, would you put a regular five people around
the
table?
Well, we don't have that many people, so I would put three.
Three? I think three is plenty.
Yeah.
I think even two would work with a newbie. Even, that's a minimum, but
okay.
a newbie could watch a game with two.
Right.
I mean,
so
two
mean
is
like,
the minimum. Two is the minimum
yeah, you're
for
right.
someone to be a lunatic.
Totally.
Because
totally.
Two is the minimum. You can have two players. You,
right. Going back and forth.
Right.
So basically two players plus the newbie. Then
right.
I'm making these little newbies in red. So like two players
that's
and then
the
newbie
absolute
in
minimum.
Red.
More is, of course,
right.
better. But
right.
That's the absolute
And then would you want some other, like, and
minimum.
Then you want some other, like, angels and lunatics?
Yeah.
Kind of like
that would be good.
You
up.
Can, but, you know, or have them be playing. I think maybe having more players would be better at that point if they're up to it. But yeah,
okay.
That's from what I remember. That's what I did, and I thought it was really natural because it was just like learning a language when I was like a baby. Just that's how babies learn language. They
right, exactly.
They're surrounded by it, and
it.
They watch. They see notice certain
right.
words being used in certain contexts when certain things are around, and they start guessing at words and using them.
Mm-hmm. So then. Yeah, so yeah, next time, certainly, let's think about doing this kind of thing, and at least, you know, calling in some angels,
right?
You know, at least calling in
right.
some angels, I think would be a fantastic step, you know, just kind of looking around the room and going like, oh, that's a good angel, that's a good angel.
Or even yeah, I mean, like the nice thing would be to have, you know, like there were a lot of one-on-one games going on.
Right.
It would have been better to just put her as Lunatic Fringe to watch that game happening.
Mm-hmm.
Like the game that I was doing, the No Pressure Refresher with those two women,
right.
maybe just having her sit there and watch that for a while would have been
actually a good idea, better than, you know, pulling you out to do
right exactly.
Okay, interesting.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's worth the experiment.
Yeah,
certainly worth the experiment. Yeah. So anything. So were you going through and marking techniques?
Mm-hmm.
And did that seem
not as not as much as I could have and should have, but
oh, as it should have.
Yeah, I just felt like, you know, there needed to, for quality control, there should have been more.
Oh, really? Oh. Huh. So which techniques did you end up throwing often?
Copycat.
Okay.
I think just because I think she was trying to think about it or something, wasn't, like, following the signs. I'd be like, okay, Now copycat my sign, you know?
Right.
And then she'd be like, oh, sign language, right. And then do the sign language stuff.
How was her sign language? Did she move through it easily, or was that difficult for her?
Yeah, I think the sign language part was pretty easy.
Okay, good.
I kept, like, kind of thinking she wasn't really enjoying herself, and then she'd be like, this is awesome. Like, you know, she's like, I really, really am used to writing stuff down. And this is like making me, this is good because it's making me not do that. And it's working this part of my brain that I haven't worked in a long time. So I thought, oh, okay, cool, cool.
Nice.
And then she was here for a while and was lunatic fringing when we were doing, start the family conversation. Yeah. So.
Well, she sat through the whole money conversation.
Right, exactly. The counting of the money.
And checked it out.
Yeah. I kept kind of peeking over. I was cooking some food at that time because I was full myself and mm-hmm. or empty and full.
Right. Stomach
in multiple ways. So I was cooking food, but I kept kind of peeking over to see how that was going. And yeah.
Yeah, she was interested.
Mm-hmm.
She was checking it out mm-hmm. and not being overwhelmed or anything like that.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, great.
So yeah, I thought that went well.
All right. Anything you do with her next time?
Well, again, I think I'd have her lunatic fringe on another game for a while, you know, 15 minutes, and then play again with her.
If she comes again, what would you like to do?
I would like to have her sit and watch, be lunatic fringe for a one-on-one or a no-pressure refresher that somebody else, maybe I'm doing.
Okay.
I personally need to get better at marking techniques more. I think the major technique that she was getting was Craigslist.
Why do you feel that?
Because I notice it just helps. It's like reminding people the rules of the game. The techniques are basically the rules of the game in a way. It's like engagement in the game. And if you aren't marking them, it's kind of like you don't understand what's important about what you're doing. Huh. So, you know, if I'm going technique in threes, you know, Craigslist technique in threes, then it's like obvious what we're about to do. I'm like, basically the technique is like a setup for whatever we're about to do, you know, and it's that. Okay. So I feel like I could have done, I mean, we did How Fascinating a lot, and it's that seems to be everyone's favorite. That's when you screw up and because it takes the pressure off. And I could tell she was like, I'm sitting here and I'm like getting really nervous, and I'm like, wait, I have nothing to be nervous about. Like, we're just playing a game. You know, like, she was like, but I feel like this thing, and I'm like, no, it's okay.
So did you initiate a couple of those How Fascinating?
Oh, yeah. You have to be. As the facilitator, I think that's one of the strongest things to do is to be like, see when they're struggling or when they mess up, especially with the Niga Miga thing, which, you know, I screwed up with myself a dozen times while we were playing. So, and I do it to myself, and, you know, so it's definitely like, How Fascinating? And they're like, oh, I see how this now plays into the game. Okay. You know,
and you
that's the
hear
important
us
thing,
kind of
right?
Doing
exactly.
Some fascinating
exactly.
Around the edges. Yeah.
Exactly. So, So marking techniques, and then having newbies do more of a lunatic fringe right before jumping into an actual game, I think is more ideal than just like having them walk in the door and put them with somebody.
Boom.
Yeah.
Well, excellent. So next time you would pick a dollar and a stone. If you were with a brand newbie,
I'd probably pick
a dollar,
I'd still do a pen. Just because, or a stick. I mean, if I was gonna try and make it as simple as possible, I mean, stick and dollar are basically English words anyway. So, it's, you know.
You have to get some words
you could,
that are not English.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I feel like there's, you know, a little bit of.
Getting ripped off a little bit.
But the thing is, you make them comfortable with English words in that trade exchange, and then you can start adding stuff in once they become fluent in that thing. And that's what we ended up doing. Like, by the end of the day at the table, she had want, have, give, take, you know, stick, rock, dollar, and black pen. And so we had four objects, and, you know.
Great. Did you do make me say? Did you make me say yes, make me say no?
I didn't mark that technique, but I did. I did those. Okay. Yes, I did make me say yes a whole bunch, and then I switched it, and she got it. So at that point, because that was sort of, I kept doing it. I kept being to like make me say yes, and then, but she was having trouble.
Were you thinking about that while you were doing it?
Okay. Yes, she was having trouble doing the Maiga Naiga thing, so it was making it a little confusing. Yeah. So I kept starting over and starting over until finally. By the end, we were able to do a whole make me say yes, make me say no, and she got it. So it's this interesting thing, too, because, you know, you go want, have, give, take, and then how do you do the setup for, like, when you jump into that, you know, I want your dollar. I teach them want, have, give, take, and then I'm like, you know, what is that? That's a dollar. That's your dollar. Yes, that's my dollar. I want your dollar. Well, there's nothing really for them to say in response except yes or no,
right?
In that regard, so because it's too hard for them to complete a sentence without ever having it set up first. But so I said, I want your dollar, and she was like, weak, you know. And I was like, okay. So she was comprehending the transaction enough to make the joke. No,
right.
You can't have my dollar.
Right.
So then I was stuck because where do I go from there?
Right.
So then what I did was
talking. You can't say anything next.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So then I was like, okay, I guess what we need to do is have a conversation doing copycat where I'm doing the whole conversation and she's just copycatting me. So I started to...
Did you pull an imaginary friend in?
No, I didn't do that, but that would have been a good thing to do.
One way.
Instead, what I did was I rewound a little bit and I did, I want your rock, you know, or whatever, to the point where she actually was just doing copycat. Oh, you want my rock? And I'd say yes, and then... You know, I just kind of did that over and over again, just to kind of get that, the want word, into the vocabulary.
Yeah. Right.
And then what usually happens after that is have gets kind of passed over, and you go right to
give. And take. Yeah.
You know, because I want this, give me this, but it doesn't. Nobody ever says have all that much.
Right.
So I was like, well, I want to go to have, since that's the next word in the Craigslist. I'm gonna focus on that next. So after she had just the word ticky, which is want, into the vocabulary, even though I don't think that she could wield it in the conversation, it was there. She had been using it, doing copycat. I wanted to have, so I was like, and at this point, she had two objects and I had nothing.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, ikta maiga toot one, which is what do you have? And that's like, you know, that's like, you can see the explosion going off. Because I did this to that other woman the last time I did a one-on-one.
Oh.
And so I was like, what do you have? You know, I said it in English. And then she was like, oh, okay. And so then, you know, we went through it, what we each had. And so I was focusing on what do I have. So I started, you know, every time it got kind of, we're on the edge, I go back to ikta uguk, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a this, is that your this, you know, what do you have, you know, and then I'd build it up to that point. So it was kind of like, you know, on some level, I feel like I'm all over the map because I'm trying to develop the fastest way for me, of how to get people somewhere in Chinook and how to use the techniques to do that.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, on some level, it's kind of like a cluster, but at the same time, like, I feel like it's actually totally, you know, it is honing.
Huh.
The ability to use techniques, which is, you know,
that's the most important.
Right, exactly. What I liked
about the objects in the early Where Are My Keys game, I guess that's what it's called.
Yeah.
When I first, is that the use of both a stick and a pen.
Yeah, that stick because and some stick.
Then you can guess that some stick is a compound, is a coining, which I got. And so then I figured out. Some meant writing, which was pretty close to its intentional meaning.
Sure.
So then when I heard people using some in a sentence, I had an idea of what it meant.
Mm.
And I think that's just a really good...
Like right from the gates, having that kind of minimal deviation on some kind of usable extra word.
And being able to start figuring out the language and analyzing it, as opposed to being just a terrible black box and everything.
Right. Well, and having that, like understanding that words get coined. And that compound words happen.
Right.
That's a big part of language is that there's these compound words.
Mm-hmm.
So to start out the gates there, would certainly be helpful. So one thing about that, what do you do when you start bringing in want? Ask them if they want your thing.
Okay, right.
Do you want
right.
my...
Right.
And make it right. be the dollar?
right. Yes, the thing that's
right.
the
yes, make it be the dollar. Put the dollar in front of you. Do you want my dollar?
Okay, right. Because
they're going
right,
to say
right,
yes.
Right, right.
And then it's going to go.
Make them say yes.
Make them say yes.
Awesome. Right.
That's going to be the single most powerful thing I think
right.
that you can do to get them
totally
because then they're going to be like
totally
oh well I want your other thing too.
And then they can repeat it and it makes sense
right
yes I want your dollar
yes right
yeah that
and
makes
then,
sense.
And then you can and then my suggestion is as soon as they say I want your dollar say well take my dollar just
right.
real quick
that's what I that's that was what I did initially right Great. With the I think I had a rock at that point so that's yeah I was like Iskam Naiga Stoon.
Yeah, just real quick,
you know,
just boom,
yeah.
success, and then
yeah.
you can get into like, oh, you want me to give you
right,
my?
Right.
Like, yeah, that's later.
Right, right. Later. Yeah, that's the later. That's the big mind,
yeah, it is.
You know, brain fart moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you so. Want me to give you my stick? It's like the simplest
Whoa.
Thing ever, but it's like,
it's a long sentence. It's a
right,
lot of words.
Right,
that,
and
that,
it's
that
two of the it's two of the words from the Craigslist, which is why I think it's so confusing.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
and it's
and
like
it has a Naiga
like,
and a Maiga.
Oh my goodness!
A...
Right.
I want you to give me your pen. It's yeah.
Right.
It's huge. Yeah, that's later. Hey, when you did the first Craigslist of me, mine, you, yours, did you bring in he, his, she, hers? Did you
yeah.
bring in Yaga Yaga
yeah.
Yaga Yaga? Okay.
Yeah.
Curious.
We never used it, but it's funny because she ended up saying it on accident, like way later.
Oh, nice.
You know, I mean, we did the. I did that Craigslist a few times in threes because of the confusion with Naiga and Maiga
yeah.
and just getting the muscle memory of
yeah. did
pointing
you poke
to yourself.
Slap? Did you tell
no,
him poke slap?
No.
Okay.
No.
That's another one. You know,
right.
poke slap.
Right.
That's
yeah, Willem did that last week.
Yeah, that's kind of fun. Excellent.
So, that's good for that. I wanted to talk to you about the brief game that we were doing. It wasn't really a game, but I mean, we weren't in the game, but we were having. I was talking to you before anybody got here.
Oh,
we were
right.
talking
yeah,
about
yeah, yeah. Rent.
Rent.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was. Here's the interesting thing. Okay, so last week, y'all were bitching at me that I'm not a good language hunter.
Not easy. Easy.
And that you've been giving me everything. Well, here's the thing. So I start talking to you, and I realize two things. One of the things I realize is that I'm actually, like, working towards language hunting you because I'm telling a story in the language and I'm, like, looking at you for cues on what
oh,
words
yeah.
come in.
Yeah, yeah,
the
yeah,
thing
yeah,
is,
yeah.
because you know how to, like, throw in the things very easily, it's very easily for you to end up giving me something because I don't really have to pull it out of you.
No. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like you're easy. It's not like you're a 70-year-old person who rarely speaks this language. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
You're like freely wanting to give it, and you're very good at pantomiming things, and you're very good at like that kind of stuff.
Right.
So, you know, on this... and then the other thing is...
Oh, so it's my fault.
Yeah. yes. The other thing is limit. There was no limit. You're like, you gave me like 20 new words today in like 5 minutes, and I'm just like, dude... Do you really like I was like gonna call limit, but then another
okay.
person walked
oh.
in and I was gonna be like, limit, you and I, let's just work on borrow and rent,
uh-huh.
let's just talk about that at the
right.
table for 5 minutes, you
right.
know, but you know, then Eric came in and we started talking about other stuff, and then a bunch of people came and
mm-hmm.
we did the one-on-ones and stuff. But anyway, I just wanted
okay.
to say that was like, that was really fun okay. because I was like, okay, now, like, here's
yeah,
the thing.
Here's
I could see that there were words that I needed,
mm-hmm.
and so I was making them up, and then you could tell that I was making up the words to fill in this word, and then you were able to give me the word.
Right.
And so my question is, like, where is the line between me making up something and, as a language hunter, like, is that, I mean, is it me, is the whole point for me to talk to you and make stuff up so that you notice that I'm trying to say this concept? Do you know what I'm saying?
Okay, yes, I do. Now, here's something that also happened then. Because you had this funny twinkle in your eye, right? That was like, all right, we are in a conversation, and I am going to limit this, and I realized what you were doing also was that you started limiting the conversation, because we just started talking about willy-nilly at first.
Right.
Willy-nilly. Right. Oh, here's a subject, here's a subject, here's a subject, here's a subject. And then we just started limiting until we kind of hit on something that was like, okay, here's some language you need. Let's work this.
Right.
And we both kind of knew that there was that.
Right.
And I kind of jumped out of that limit here and there to fill in a couple of the words.
Sure.
But having that in that sort of now pressure cooker, you were language hunting, and I was also language hunting. We were language hunting each other. So I'm hunting for what you know and don't know, and I'm also hunting for sort of the fastest ways to now fill that in.
Right.
And it's really comfortable because now you are language hunting me.
Right.
And so I could feel you language hunting me. And then, so I'm pushing, and you're pulling, and I'm pushing, and you're pulling. So now we're in push-pull. Now we're in full push-pull. I know what I'm doing. You know what you're doing. Like, really, we only mark techniques here and there when there was something to repeat or when there was another Craigslist to throw in there or something like that.
Right.
But that's what it should feel like.
Right.
It should feel effortless.
Well,
and like there is this just...
Totally. Back and it forth. Happened because you asked me... what I did in Malala with these kids. I was teaching a class with some students in Malala, and you asked me what happened there, and I don't have the ability to answer that, strongly in Chinook at all. And so
we don't have a shared experience because I wasn't there.
Right, exactly. And so I was like, oh, this is my opportunity to like stumble and, you know, be like, okay, here, fill in the gaps for me and tell me what needs to happen. So it was nice recognizing that, like, okay, here's a place where I can push myself. Because you asked me this question, and I said to you, that's sorry, Charlie, I can't answer that. But,
and I was like, yep, that's sorry, Charlie.
But also, like, I think that moment of being sorry, Charlie, is also like, here's where the room is to grow. You know? So it's like, okay, I know this is beyond my ability to do fluently or even very well. But it was like noticing that's where I was at the edge. Because the problem is, like, I don't know where the edge is right now. Mm-hmm. And that's why haven't really gone language hunting myself is because I don't know where my own edge is. Because when we go on a walk, you know, when Willem and I go on our walk, there's a little bit of that happening. But it's, at this point, it's kind of like we repeat a lot of the same stuff. And then there's something right there that we can talk about that's like, in, you know, physically there. But what we were doing was talking about the past, where there was nothing that we could physically talk about that was right in the room. There was nothing we could see in the room. It was all just, you know, it was, Larry King.
That is Larry King.
And I was like, okay, well, I can kind of go there. And so if I kind of go there, I can at least get a little bit there, a little bit further there with you in the room, you know, talking with you. And so that's why that's what inspired me to be like, okay, I was like, wow, he's sorry Charlieing me, but I could wiggle a little bit here and learn something. And that's when I was like, okay, that's sort of like where they're trying to push me to go anyway. So why not like take the leap?
Right. And that's push pull. You're pushing yourself and then I'm pulling you up.
Okay.
And then, and so it's like you're pushing and I'm pulling, and you can only push yourself with people who have more language ability than you.
Right.
You cannot push if the person you're talking with has less language ability, has less fluency.
Right.
It will not work.
Right.
So that's a perfect opportunity for you to push. You're like, okay, I could push because he's probably going to drag me through it. And so, yeah, I am going to drag you through it. Now, your initial question with this was, like, can I make up words? How much words should I be making up so that you have an idea of what I'm saying so you can give me the word? As much as you need to. Do that as much as you need to. The sign language here helped massively.
Totally.
Because I was, you know, watching you like, oh, I need a word for this thing, and I can just give it to you.
Right.
And so it's not even like you're even asking, because you're in the mid of the sentence, and your hands are already going, and I'm like, oh, he's probably going to even do this next.
Right.
So I can start anticipating what your hands are about to do just by how you're starting to set up, how your body's starting to move, and I'm like, oh, he's probably going to say this. And so you know, it's crazy. Your mouth starts opening, and I'm like, I have the word for you. Thank you. There you go. Oh,
right.
I know what's going to... Oh, I didn't... Oh, sorry. Oh, wrong word. Okay, but, you know. But that... The only thing that would have been better was if we had had a shared experience.
Right.
That's the only way I think that would have been
It would have limited. Oh, well, faster. Yeah, right. It would have been more obvious.
Bob and Ray. You're trying to guess the word. You know, the Bob and Ray they were a comedy theme from the 50s on the radio, and one of their sketches was about a group called the STOA, the Slow Talkers. exactly. America. And then he'd start going into this really slow thing and guessing the next word. Nice. Getting impatient.
Nice. That's good. That's good. I'm sorry, what technique is that?
Bob and Ray. Try to guess the word.
All right. That's huge. Yes. Yep, that's sort of like that just in time. You asked for it.
Yeah, right.
Extend the Craigslist, Bob and Ray. Right.
Right. Of course, the whole gag of the skit is as it would get on, the guesses would get wrong.
Right. right. Awkward, strange.
Yes, awkward, strange, weird guesses.
Yeah, yeah, so that was great. I mean, and that was nice to be able, that you texted me that you were going to go do that thing, because then that allowed me to ask that, hey, how'd it go? So, and it was something we'd already kind of built the same conversation around.
Yes.
So we had the same conversation going, but we didn't necessarily have a shared experience about it. Exactly. So that was kind of a safety net of technique that because we have the same conversation, it's like, well, do we need the shared experience?
Right.
It's handy. It sure speeds it along, but just to have that same conversation built. If we hadn't had that same conversation built, it would have been like, hey, guess what I did this weekend? Oh, what? I did this thing. I was like, oh, well, then it would have had to be this whole, like, well, who'd you do it with? You know, what were you going for? What was the experience that you had? So we couldn't have actually gotten.
You know, the cool thing, too, is that, like, I mean, we only had 5 minutes, really, to talk about it, or 10 minutes. It would have been nicer to actually, you know, be able to hang out for 30 minutes and do it. But afterwards, when I was, like,
5 minutes.
Right, exactly.
You only get 2 minutes. You've got to milk that minute.
I mean, that's the thing. But, like, while I'm sitting in the kitchen cooking the food for everybody tonight, I'm like, I mean, it's just my mind is like, well, what else would I have said about that day? You know, what else? So I'm like talking, you know, it's like my brain never stops. It's always like imaginary friend. I'm still talking to you, and I'm talking to you about how many people came and then what else we did and stuff like that. So I mean, it's always like working,
imaginary,
you know,
friends
what I mean?
Now working. Yeah.
And so the next time I'll be able to like, be like, oh yeah. And blah, 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 blah. This happened too. And then that.
Now here's a great thing that you can do now. Next time that we talk, you can say like, hey, remember when we were talking about that day? Well, guess what I did that day? And go through the exact same story that you told me.
Right.
And it will just improve now.
Right,
because
exactly.
I'll play right along with you. And I'll be like, oh, what did you do that day?
Right.
And then you'll leave stuff out and I'll fill it in. I was like, wait, didn't you... And then you'll say, oh, yeah, I did.
Didn't you eat a roadkill squirrel? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. and then we have now this thing to talk about again.
Right.
And then as we go, so that same conversation could go on for the next year.
Totally.
As that one day gets more and more thick and honed.
Kind of reminds me of that, like, I don't know, Martin Prechtel has this thing that he talks about in his workshops where he says that people should get a room in their house and put objects in it, and each of the object has a story about, I don't know, maybe I'm going to screw this up if I start talking about it, but it's basically like a memory room.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Like ancestral memory room where you go in and every object has some crazy story tied to it.
Right.
You know, and then you just build on this history of your family and stuff like
that.
Similarly
is he,
with...
Is he actually talking to do that physically?
Oh,
like
yeah.
To actually take a physical object and do that?
And put it, and make a room that has physical objects in it.
Because that's also isn't that the Jesuit memory system? Isn't that called the palace?
That's actually an imaginary thing, but
I don't
know
much about the Jesuits.
Yeah, that's like you have a physical imaginary place that's a palace with rooms in it where you put objects that are connected to things.
To memory.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, you build a memory palace.
Right, exactly, palace. And that's like in your imagination. Whereas this is similar to that, but it's actually like a room in your house with all of these, you know, sacred objects.
Well, I think that's fantastic. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the mixture of memory palace and total physical response.
Right, exactly.
For sure.
Yeah.
Hey, so we went on that walk. We went on the walk. What do you think about that?
It was good.
Coolly, not Peter. I was not on the walk.
Yeah, you were not on the walk.
I didn't really play much of a role in it. I mean,
you didn't?
I played something of one. I guess I was being expected to be pushed a little more into leadership, but I guess I did some, yeah.
Oh, did you want to be?
I think it would have been appropriate. But well, no, nice. I should have grabbed it a little more, but I did. I pointed things out and such.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. Well, that was great to have you along, because then I could, like, hey, well, do you see this? And you could repeat those nice sentences back. Right. That was a great setup for those guys. So we had Pulikli and I, and then we had two relatively newbies. Mm-hmm. So who are just getting their want-have-give-take under control. Right. So, yeah, I got to say, that was great to have you, like, be able to, like...
Shove all the birch trees, the Tikupipa stick.
Nice. Well, there's five of them. There's one here, and there's one there, and there's one there.
And there's three across the road.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect. That was a great setup too. And there's three across the road. And I saw their eyes like go, oh yeah, across the. Oh hello, three trees. Yeah. Well, next time, yeah, I think next time. Do you want to lead it?
Yeah, I could.
Let's.
Yeah, I should. I don't think I've ever really led it. I don't think I've ever really led one.
You haven't really, have you?
No, I haven't.
What's the hold up?
I don't know.
I mean, just you know, I don't know, muzzle me or something. Yeah. I'd be like, Evan, my turn. Kick me out of the way. Yeah, I really like also how you on that walk when it came time to go up that little ramp. Mm-hmm. Then that was really nice to have somebody else there to like, okay, now we're all going up, but all down. Going down. Yes. That's kind of funny, you know, if you're the only one.
It is.
Yeah, it's not good.
Well, that's it for this episode of the Wear Your Keys Language Fluency Game. With me, Willem Larson, recorded on April 19th, 2010. Thanks for listening.